This is The Guardian.
I'm Noor Haidar, coming to you from Gadigal land, and this is the full story.
This morning, there was a spill motion for the leadership of the Liberal Party of Australia. That motion was successful. A ballot was conducted for the leadership. There was two candidates.
After weeks of speculation about a Liberal leadership spill, the vote was over swiftly. Angus Taylor emerged victorious, securing 34 votes to 17.
He is now the leader of the Liberal Party of Australia.
And ending Susan Lee's leadership after just 9 months.
And further to that, a deputy leadership was also declared vacant. We had four candidates. And
Taylor will lead the opposition with Jane Hume as his deputy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It is clear we are running out of time. I won't mince words. The Liberal Party is in the worst position that it has been since it was founded in 1944. The choice is simple for the Liberal Party: change or die, and I choose change.
While Susan Lee says she will resign from Parliament.
I'm not sure what comes next for me. I look forward to stepping away completely and comprehensively from public life.
Today, political editor Tom McElroy on Angus Taylor's Liberal Party. It's Friday, the 13th of February. Tom, it's great to have you back on Full Story.
Noor, thanks for having me. Exciting day.
Yeah, you've just stepped out of a press conference with the new opposition leader. Angus Taylor won the Liberal leadership ballot 34 votes to 17. It was an emphatic win compared to just 9 months ago.
Yeah, it was close 9 months ago in his fight with Susan Lee. The momentum was with Angus Taylor going into this vote today. It was pretty clear that Susan Lee wasn't going to emerge from the party room meeting as the leader. And yeah, it is quite an emphatic victory. It's a more conservative approach promised under Angus Taylor. And his new deputy, Jane Hume, the Victorian senator, has promised that the pair will learn lessons from the last election and put forward more policies going forward. So I think it's going to be a shift in personality and presentation as well as policy.
Okay, you just mentioned there that Jane Hume was elected deputy leader. That was a more contested fight. How'd that play out?
Yeah, she is replacing the former deputy leader, Ted O'Brien, who served with Susan Lee. But there were a few people in that race: Dan Tehan, Melissa Price, and Ted O'Brien himself. The new deputy leader, Jane Hume, paid tribute to the unsuccessful candidates and promised that she would continue the approach that Ted O'Brien gave to Susan Lee: careful and loyal service to the leader and working hard to rebuild the party's political stocks.
Okay, well, you've just spoken there a bit about their press conference and what they've signalled. Have they been able to explain, Tom, what they will do differently to restore the party's electoral standing and how policy will differ under their leadership?
Yeah, it's quite a broad list of things that Angus Taylor has talked about. He's hinted at some policy areas, including tax, immigration, fighting Labor on things like environmental policies. And he says that they got some big calls wrong ahead of the last election under Peter Dutton, but that they wouldn't be doing that going forward, and has promised to boost home ownership as part of the Australian dream, to use Angus Taylor's phrase, and says that immigration policy in particular, standards have been too low and numbers have been too high. So I think that's a signal of one of his early priorities, and I suspect we'll be hearing more from Angus Taylor. We know that Susan Lee had some policy principles on immigration ready to go before the Bondi terror attacks. I suspect they'll be reworked now that the leadership has changed, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's an early move on policy that we see from Angus Taylor as the new opposition leader.
Before we talk a little bit more about some of those policy decisions that Angus Taylor will have to make, Susan Lee, she addressed the media after her defeat and talked about her intention to resign from politics. What did she say about being deposed by her colleagues?
Well, She paid tribute to a lot of her colleagues. She said it had been an honour to be the first female leader of the Parliamentary Liberal Party, the first female opposition leader. And she said that she was going from politics in some weeks in order to give clear air to the new leader. She hinted that she felt she hadn't had clear air during her 9 months in the top job. But she said that she was looking forward to a private life out of the public eye after 25 years in Canberra, and gave an endorsement of the party going forward. She said she was confident that the party would be able to rebuild from some pretty poor polling and be able to bring the fight to Labor in time for the next election.
Mm. How messy will a by-election in her seat of Farrar be? Could it further weaken the Liberal Party if there is a three-way contest?
Yeah, I think it might be an even more a broader contest than that. It could be four or five serious candidates. I think it will be really messy. I think the timing is going to be difficult. Of course, the drop in the coalition's polling is matched with a huge rise in polling for One Nation and Pauline Hanson. And Farrar is a New South Wales regional seat. One Nation were quick out of the blocks to say that they would run a candidate in the by-election. The Nationals would also be entitled to run. It's previously been a National seat, and their political agreement with the Liberal Party as part of the coalition deal is that if a seat is vacant, there's no reason that both parties can't stand a candidate. I also think there'll be a Teal challenger and probably some minor party candidates as well. So it's really going to be a Melbourne Cup field. The timing is interesting as well. It could potentially be around the time of the budget. It's going to be a really early political challenge for Angus Taylor as opposition leader.
Mm, something to watch down the line. Tom, both Angus Taylor and Jane Hume have been blamed for some of the problems that the Liberal Party had at the last election. A review of the Liberal Party's 2025 defeat hasn't been released yet, and Angus Taylor was today asked about that. Did he concede any mistakes?
He conceded on personal income tax cuts that Labor had put forward that they'd made the wrong call there. So that's an interesting concession. Obviously, the government has been whacking the coalition over that ever since, arguing that Labor is the party of lower taxes, not the coalition. Angus Taylor was asked about other big calls that they got wrong. He didn't dwell on that, but I think we'll see some reflection there. I mean, the obvious question that was asked soon after is that Angus Taylor was the shadow treasurer before the election. Jane Hume was the shadow finance and public service minister. And the pair of them had to argue for this work from home policy that was so toxic with voters that the Liberal Party dumped it during its own campaign, which is something I've never seen before in some years covering politics. Jane Hume said that the voters had made their views known on that and it wasn't going to be revisited. But I think it shows that they both bring baggage to the job and that there's good ground for Labor in criticising their previous positions, and it'll be difficult for them in articulating new policy positions. They'll be reminded of some of the mistakes from 2025.
Mm. Tom, some have said that this was going to be a change or die moment for the Liberals. Indeed, Angus Taylor himself said that today during the press conference. We've heard from others within the Liberal Party, including Alex Antic, who publicly backed Angus Taylor, and he says that the Liberal Party should follow One Nation's blueprint. Is this change of leadership going to mark another lurch to the right?
I'm not sure about a lurch to the right. Of course, Angus Taylor is more conservative in his politics. The conservative faction in the Liberal Party is now back in charge. Jane Hume herself is a moderate, but she's been closely aligned to Angus Taylor for some time. I think the politics of immigration is one area that we need to look closely here in terms of a rightward drift. They're losing a lot of votes to One Nation, as we said, and Angus Taylor's gone out of his way today to insist that immigration needs to be a key policy focus. He said that it should only be offered to people who want to come to Australia to share Australian values. And he said that the door should be closed on people who want to take away freedoms or change our way of life. This could be the conservative part of the party reasserting itself in a key policy debate. Of course, Labor wants to cut immigration as well, so the rhetoric is going to be really interesting. I think it's also an interesting time to be talking about immigration. You know, the question of social cohesion is really front of mind for a lot of the politicians at the moment, and I think a heated debate on immigration could have more of an effect on that. Angus Taylor mentioned specifically the Bondi terror attacks back in December, and I think was hinting that a tougher approach is needed, more careful vetting and selection of people who are invited to come to Australia, possibly.
One Nation is polling ahead of the Liberal Party in some polls. What did you take away from Angus Taylor's comments when asked about One Nation?
Well, he insisted that the Liberals shouldn't be One Nation light, that there would be policy differentiation from Pauline Hanson's party. They'll seek, I think, to win back some of the voters who are moving across to One Nation, and there is a striking shift in tone on things like immigration and the economy, which are key issues. I think the other thing that we should keep in mind is that a lot of the Liberal base will be happy to hear a more bullish set of statements on migration and on the makeup of Australian society and how things work. So I think Angus Taylor will play well to that part of the membership. How that fits into the broader politics, whether it appeals to voters in the centre where the Liberal Party's drifting away from, I think is the real political challenge. And that could be the thing that we're talking about all the way up into the next election. I think Labor believe that's their opportunity. If they can continue to hold the centre and the left, that they'll be able to keep the opposition in dire straits and continue to stay in government.
We'll be right back. Malcolm Turnbull warned Angus Taylor against leading the Liberal Party further to the right by adopting populist or anti-immigration policies and rhetoric, saying that it will condemn the Liberal Party to further irrelevance. And as you've just noted, Angus Taylor effectively did that today by saying our borders have been open to people who hate our way of life and that the door must be shut for some people. Is it clear to you, Tom, how the Liberals intend to win back teal seats, multicultural communities, and women who've abandoned the party over successive elections?
Well, Angus Taylor was clear on the last question. He was asked about the need for the Liberals to win back women, a big part of their base that has increasingly been abandoning the party in the past couple of electoral cycles. He said that they needed to win back all their previous voters. He didn't have an answer particularly on women. But on the broader question of winning teal seats back and appealing to multicultural communities, I think it's going to be challenging. He's got a good message in terms of the Liberal heartland on things like tax reform, lower taxes, less regulation for business. But he faces a difficult challenge in appealing to voters who might otherwise be considering the teals if there is hardline language on things like immigration and especially on the environment. He actually called some of Labor's policies in the environmental space carbon taxes, which is an echo of the Tony Abbott era. And I think it'll be interesting to see if he continues to use that line. He suggested vehicle efficiency standards and moves to promote electric vehicle take-up in Australia were a carbon tax on transport, and suggested that there were carbon taxes being applied to homes and to families and all kinds of stuff. So that's going to be an interesting rhetorical area to watch with Angus Taylor, I think.
I wanted to ask you, Tom, about some of the remarks made by commentators who've suggested that Angus Taylor will have to watch out for Andrew Hastie. He made his leadership aspirations known. Could we be back here with another Liberal leadership spill?
I think it's possible. I mean, opposition is really difficult, and the polling for the Liberals and the Nationals is dire at the moment. Even Angus Taylor admits that clearly. I think if there isn't a turnaround in their position with voters in the opinion polls, if there is continued disunity and white-anting within the Liberal Party, it's possible that his position could come under challenge. I think some people in the Liberal Party are optimistic that Andrew Hastie could take a senior role in the opposition front bench, particularly in a domestic portfolio where he could build his experience over the rest of this term. But it's still 2 years to the next election, so it would be crazy to rule out more instability. Equally, it might be possible that the Conservative part of the party feels that their man is now in the top job and they want to unite behind him. I think there'll be a lot of encouragement for them to do that from party elders. Even Tony Abbott's been out today saying that it's time for everyone to get behind Angus Taylor as the leader. So look, I think predictions in politics are a mug's game, but at their current political standing, it's going to be a very difficult task for Angus Taylor.
Well, Tom, we really appreciate you rushing into the studio there right out of that press conference with Angus Taylor. Thanks so much for your time.
Nora, thanks. It's been great to be with you.
That was political editor Tom McElroy. You can find more coverage on the Liberal leadership spill at theguardian.com. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria. Sound design and mixing by Joe Koning. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story. And you can also leave us a review. I'm Noor Haidar. Thanks for listening.